this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. This is episode 77, and this is Courtney here, your, I'm trying to think of an adjective, your hostess, your host for the show, but, yeah, my brain's not picking any adjectives right now. Julian woke up at, like, 4 a.m. from a nightmare, and Nathan, like, ran in there, because once I'm in there, it just prolongs the shitstorm because mommy's there, but if Nathan can handle the crisis and get the kids back to sleep, it's, like, so much easier for everyone. So Nathan got in there, and he got everyone back to bed. But it was already 4, and my body was just like, I wasn't tired enough to go back to sleep, but I didn't get enough sleep. So it's just going to be one of those days. This is motherhood. My kids, I can't complain, though, because my kids are amazing night sleepers. We had, Pippa had a nightmare 3 nights ago and had to come into bed with us at 2:30 a.m. and slept on me, but I got back to sleep. You see, I'd rather the 2:30 waking because then I'm going to get back to sleep as opposed to the 4 a.m. waking where it's like, it's questionable whether I'm getting back to sleep. I feel for all of you out there with newborns who wake up at like 4 a.m. for a feeding and then like sometimes like between diaper changes and then holding a sleeping baby before they're ready to be put down. It's like not until 5 and your body's like, hello, it's 5 a.m. Why are we going to bed now? Oh my gosh. Motherhood, it's just puts you through the grinder. It's boot camp. I am really not going to have a problem with having teenagers someday. Because it's going to be like, I heard this amazing trick on a podcast on the, I think it's called The Happier or The Happy. It's Gretchen Rubin's podcast. I should look that up. Anyway, I heard a trick for teenagers who have curfew. You get an alarm clock and you set it for curfew. And you either put it on your nightstand or if you're a light sleeper, you put it right outside your door. And when the teenager gets home, they turn off the alarm. So that way, if you wake up at 4 a.m., and you're like, oh my gosh, did my kid get home? You're like, oh wait, the alarm never went off. The alarm didn't go off. That means they turned it off and they got home. And then you could just roll over and go back to bed. And then if the alarm goes off, then you know you want to be up. And you're like, oh, it's 1 a.m. or it's midnight or whatever curfew is. And the alarm went off. My little love bug is breaking curfew. Now let me track him down. So this is a trick I've learned. And I'm like, this is going to be amazing. I will have an alarm clock for Julian, an alarm clock for Pippa. It's going to be beautiful. So much easier than, you know, kindergartners. I mean, Pippa almost never gets a nightmare. It's been like, oh my God, at least 6 months since she even came into our room at night for like even a sip of water. So I'm living the dream. She's been doing 2 weeks of kindergarten. So I think it's a big transition and she's doing great, but a nightmare or two was inevitable. So anyway, I'm a little tired today, hence I can't come up with an adjective for hostess or host. I don't know. Am I allowed to call myself a hostess, or does that sound too 1950s air flight attendant? Anyway, I'm rambling. This is episode 77. If you have not listened to episode 74 yet, I would encourage you to hit pause on this and go back and listen to episode 74. Episode 74 was Tyra's story, and if you need a quick refresher course, Tyra is a physician. She's the mother of 2 young children. She had postpartum depression and anxiety with baby 1 and did a lot of work and got herself to a much, much better place. So when she had baby 2 last, oh gosh, was it March? I'm too tired to remember all these dates, but you know, not so long ago, when she had baby number 2, she thought she had done all the work she needed to do and that she was going to have a much easier postpartum period. And for the first month, things went well. And then her baby, Desi, had a little health hiccup. And that just triggered all of the old anxiety and depression and sent her into a second round of postpartum depression and anxiety. Today, we have Tyra's husband, Brandon, on the show, telling his side of the story. This is not like a he said, she said. This is just sort of an enlightening what it is like to be the loved one of a person with postpartum depression and anxiety, what it's like, how to help them, how to not help them. This is just such a fantastic interview, and I could keep rambling on and on, but you know what? I'm just going to turn this over to Brandon, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, Brandon. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Sure. Hi, Courtney.
So we know that you are Tyra's husband, and she was on the show. Did you listen to her episode?
Yeah, I did.
How was that for you?
It was good.
I think all the moms listening are now going, "Aw." So, what made you volunteer to be on the show? Because I've been doing this for a couple of years and you're only my second dad. What was this Tyra's idea, or did you just think, gosh, I should do this, or? So, what did you know going into fatherhood and Tyra's first pregnancy? What did you know about mood disorders and, postpartum depression? Did you know anything? There's no wrong answer here because, I mean, my husband knew basically nothing, so don't worry. Okay, this is exciting. I didn't realize you're a doctor. Can I pick your brain for a couple of minutes about, like, I think we all put our doctors on pedestals and your gods that you know everything about every possible illness. And as I've been learning about mood disorders, I'm learning how little doctors are actually taught about this. So, like, where would this even fit into medical school? Like, how many minutes would, like, doctors have been exposed to something about postpartum depression? Thank you. That's just so helpful to hear. You were confirming a lot of thoughts that I had on that because I think there's a lot of, and you're not an obstetrician, but I think there's a lot of pressure on obstetricians to do psychiatric work at that 6 week appointment. And they haven't even necessarily even gotten that training to do it. All right. So this isn't an episode though about medical school. This is about you and Tyra. So Tyra gets pregnant, and I remember things that she was saying, but what was her first pregnancy like for you? As you know, did you have red flags? Were you like, oh gosh, she's being anxious, or did it seem, or was that going on in her head? What was your experience? And you sound like you were maybe a little skeptical of that confidence. And so, labor, delivery, babies here. How were things after that for you? How are breastfeeding issues from the dad's perspective? It must be, I don't know, my husband's like a problem solver, and when there's a problem, he wants to help. And when I'm complaining about cluster feeding, I think it was probably tough for him because it's not like he can be like, here, let me just whip out my boob and breastfeed. It's like, I can't do this. How is breastfeeding for you? I mean, not for you. I know you didn't breastfeed, but how is that being the dad with a wife breastfeeding and you want to help, but you can't step in?
Yeah, I think think I relate to your husband's experience. I too am a problem solver. I'm like energized by action, and so when breastfeeding was hard, obviously I wanted to be involved, and with the lactation nurses, I was, you know, very present and trying to learn all the tips and trying to, you know, learn how to position Maddie in the right way and learning about frequency and intervals to make it go well. And I think some of that was helpful. You know, Tyra certainly wanted my engagement in the problem. But what wasn't helpful was me weighing in on how to do things differently. And that became true of pretty much everything moving forward. I felt powerless. I had so much energy to take action, but I couldn't breastfeed. And breastfeeding was really important to Tyra. So anything that threatened the success of breastfeeding, like offering a bottle or offering formula, really upset her. And that made me frustrated and created distance between us, because Tyra was suffering from a problem, wanting support, which I heard as just a general cry for help, and I was trying to solve it by what seemed like obvious solutions to me. And it was really just to her appearing like me resisting the path of breastfeeding. So that was a lot to answer your question.
No, you can't see me, but I was just nodding along. Like, you're kind of just
Okay.
putting into words what I've suspected is the experience, but it's nice to actually realize I'm not making it up completely. So you weren't really able to, like, if you saw red flags while Tyra's kind of descending into her personal hell, were you able to voice the concerns, or was it sort of like you were seen as, like with the breastfeeding, like you're seen as sort of obstructing what she's trying to do?
Yeah, it was so tough and very chaotic, and I think we were both suffering shell shock. So it's tough to recall all of it. I mean, I have these just like extremely vivid flashbacks of points of those days, but to have like a grasp of what was going on,
right,
it just seems out of reach. Yeah, I think, you know, I just saw Tyra go the first, whatever it was, 4 days without sleep, and I wanted so badly to help her, and I, you know, at some point in those first 4 days, you know, I just offered the opportunity to, like, try formula or a bottle or whatever, and I remember just that just creating a lot of coldness between us. Yeah, at first, I didn't know how much of this was normal, just like Tyra, you know, with a kind of anxious tendency, dealing with a really, really hard thing. It seemed to just be a really, really hard thing. So I didn't necessarily think that this was Tyra's brain changing. But then, I want to say maybe a weekend, we started doing these visits to the lactation service at our nearby hospital, and they would have you do postpartum depression screening questionnaires, and this is what I alluded to. I hadn't, you know, if I had seen it before, I didn't appreciate how, like, half of the questions are about anxiety, and Tyra just scored really highly on it, and it just, I think it opened my eyes to how much what she was experiencing was typical of a postpartum depression experience. And then I think we kind of kicked things into gear a little bit about what we could be doing to address that, especially as we got, you know, 3-4 weeks out. And yeah, I don't know what's going to be the right time to talk about that phase, but it was increasingly more difficult to negotiate with Tyra about how to offload some of her responsibilities and how to help her take care of herself, because pretty much every suggestion that I or other people who loved her offered, in one way or another, she heard as threatening her control over what was most important. That was breastfeeding and sleeping. And if Maddie didn't breastfeed at the right time for the right amount of time, or if she didn't nap at the right time for the right amount of time, then she would be up at night and Tyra wouldn't sleep. And sleep is what really contributed a lot to her mood. So, I don't know, there was just like this wall between everybody and Tyra, it felt like. At least everybody that was trying to offer a suggestion.
And what was your work? Did you have a paternity leave?
Kind of. I just took 4 weeks of unpaid time, both with Maddie and with Desi. And then with Maddie, I took an extra 2 months of unpaid when Tyra went back to work.
Okay, so Tyra goes back to work. When did...
She went back to work in, I want to say, 4 months. She went back in 4 months.
Okay. And so, when did...
Both
I'm just...
of us for a month. Tyra for 3 months, and I was around most days then, and then she went back at 4 months to her usual part-time, though. I was off during that time.
So when all this is happening and things just kind of get more worse and worse, like at what point did you like hit bottom and things started to turn around? I remember Tyra, when Tyra ended breastfeeding, that was a big help because she got pregnant with baby two. Were things better before then?
Yeah. And Tyra Tyra recovered. I would say after 3 months, Tyra started doing better. Like, she seemed to kind of come out of a fog, you know? There was this, like, almost zombie appearance to Tyra for some time. And by the end of 3 months, Maddie had come out of her colic, and Tyra was just less exacerbated by this baby who was so unhappy all the time. And she just, I think, started to gain a little bit more clarity on the situation. And she was doing a lot to address things from her end. She started talking to a therapist or mindfulness coach. And by about 10 months or so, she was feeling pretty good. She didn't tolerate or stay on an antidepressant, so it was really just kind of behavioral modifications and recovery from the hormone changes with postpartum. But I would say 10 months out, she was feeling pretty good.
So then you guys have baby two. How'd you feel about...
Yeah.
Were you excited, thinking, okay, we've got everything in place, we can just kick this in the ass this time, or were you worried?
Yeah, super worried. I don't always wanted a pretty big family. I grew up with a lot of siblings, like the chaos of it. Tyra wasn't really excited about having kids in the first place. And during this first year that was so challenging, Tyra just said, we can't even talk about kid number two until after a year.
Right.
And so after a year, we start talking. And it's not long after a year that Tyra is the one pushing for it. And I don't know, you know, like, what really motivated the dramatic change. It was crazy. You know, just, like, how much amnesia can happen. Because she was ready to take on the challenge again. And I think a big part of her wanted to prove to herself and everybody else that she could do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of her wanted to prove that it wasn't her, that it was, you know, Maddie in the situation. And so we started talking about having another kid. She was still breastfeeding. In fact, she was breastfeeding through maybe the first trimester of her pregnancy with Desi. And so we got pregnant while breastfeeding. whether we should or shouldn't do breastfeeding again.
Hmm. I'm guessing you were in the nay camp.
I was.
That's okay.
I just wanted to have an exit. I at least wanted to have an exit strategy. We couldn't communicate all that effectively about it.
You know, and I think that's, like, great that you're saying this out loud, because, like, I know there's lots of unsupportive husbands out there, so I love when they listen to the show and figure out how to be supportive, but I think there's a lot of dads out there who are supportive, and it's just the realities of life and communication and having, you know, men and women come together that you are just going to disagree on things and not see things the same way. And I'm just rambling, but I'm trying to just thank you for what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just bringing in the male perspective is, like, very helpful. And, but you ultimately, it sounds like you've been supportive, even though you disagree with her decision to breastfeed again. It's not like you prevented her from doing it.
No, I don't really have a place to. Tyra is obviously taking on 99.9% of the burden with something that is primarily my interest. So, I don't really have a place to. And she did such an incredible job breastfeeding. It was so meaningful for her and Maddie. It was a major source of bonding with them eventually. She's obviously supported by a lot of data and guideline recommendations and societal expectations. So she had a lot of ground to stand on, and
so Desi arrives, and he's actually, at first, your dream baby. Or yeah. At least that's the picture I got from Tyra, that he wasn't the colicky, yeah, fussy, you know.
In the first week, he was just a sleepy guy, you know? I couldn't wake him up to breastfeed almost.
When did things sort of turn, like, go south again for Tyra? That's okay. There's no right answer to this. Because
yeah.
I mean, I wrote a whole book about...
I don't have a timeline for you. I know that he's starting to get more fussy, and he's kind of like refluxy and food intolerant and a baby. I think it got progressively just more difficult for him over the weeks. And I think probably the hormone drops started to take their effect.
Right.
I mean, if that is what happens in postpartum depression, my understanding at this point that you deliver, your hormones drop, and for some people that drops real steep.
So how has round two of postpartum depression been for you? Is it easier since you know you're going to get through it? Is it more difficult because you're like, you know, like, gosh, I thought we had everything in place for this to prevent it? Just, like, how's it been for you as the dad?
So much easier this time around. I think that her depression and anxiety are probably as bad as they were the first time. Not that, like, zombie period for the first few weeks, but she never really had that this time. But she has these just raging panic attacks in the morning. And the pervasive thoughts of anxiety, I think, are just more omnipresent than they were before. But she has such greater insight this time. So she's so much more relatable. And she's self-reflective, and she's actively trying to solve the problem in ways that she resisted it even being a problem before. And all those things make her more approachable and relatable and make me feel like I'm on her side, working for a similar goal, and she's suffering something, you know, in a way outside of her, you know, separate. She's not responsible for the situation in a way that I put on her with Maddie. It felt like she, like I wasn't doing the right thing to support her. And things weren't going well in our family. And our relationship was struggling. You know, it just, it felt very personal. Mm-hmm. And like I was a part of this failing system. And it doesn't feel that way this time around. It feels like Tyra's got this totally shitty situation. You'll probably have to leave that out.
Oh, no, you can. We swear like sailors on this show. And this time it just doesn't seem so.
Feel like that this time.
So it doesn't seem like. I'm not even going to try to rephrase it because you just said it all so perfectly. So what have you found in your experience? You know, wait, before I ask that, how is she doing today? It's been like, I think 6 weeks since I talked to her. How would you say has she improved in those 6 weeks? Is she doing better since she's gone back to work? No, I was going to say, she is going to come back on the show, so we will hear from her.
Oh, okay. Good. She started trying different SSRIs. I think she was on, like, day two of the first one when she had talked to you, and she ended up getting really nauseous and vomiting for a couple of days because of that one, tried another one, and didn't have any effect. And she went back to the first one, which is Prozac, and the one that the lactation specialist recommended in terms of safety. She's taking a quarter of a normal starting dose. She's still nauseous 10 days in, but she thinks that it's helping. So if she can tolerate it, if she can put up with the nausea goes away, that seems to be a good thing.
Okay, I'm going to apologize to Tyra that I'm going to ask this question. Do you think the nausea is actually caused by the medication, or do you think the nausea might be anxiety about having to take medication?
Yeah, it could be both. And I mean, thanks for apologizing. I'm sure people don't like the specious suggestion of the question, but.
But she's dealing with anxiety right now.
Anxiety. Yeah, it's tied to anxiety, exactly. But it's so obviously related to it. I mean, she has panic attacks before starting the SSRI without any nausea. And then she took the dose and she was puking all morning. She was puking in between patients. I mean, it was, it did not seem to be influenced just by stuff in her head. I mean, I think she has, and it's a known side effect of Prozac and other SSRIs. Some people have really dramatic side effects and others don't. And we see it with all kinds of meds. I mean, there's a huge range of sensitivities. So Tyra, unfortunately, is somebody who very much needs this med, is also really sensitive to it.
And that's good to hear, because so many people struggle to find that first med. And I like hearing these stories because I'm the bitch who got it all right on the first try. So I can never relate.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, there's people like me who, I mean, we get it and 3 days later we're feeling better and we don't have, like, any obvious side effects. And then there's people like Tyra, and it's helpful. I've told her story to so many people and tell them, like, go to the podcast and listen, because there's just something very validating about being like, oh, you mean a doctor also feels this way? Like, someone who's been to medical school and has all the training and they're still suffering, and you just see, like, relief in the mom's eyes to be like, I'm not making this up, I'm not weak. Like, this is just a shitty situation. So what have you found, like, any advice for dads who are listening about ways that are helpful to support Tyra, or ways that you found that weren't? I mean, you've kind of been hitting on this throughout the interview, but just anything we may have missed? That is great advice. Do men talk about this? Or is this sort of not your typical guy talk?
I don't know. I live in the about personal feelings and experiences, so I'm like probably on the extreme of representation. I have friends that like talking about this stuff with me, or I wouldn't say like talking about it, but are extremely supportive that I have talked to about it. I imagine there's men that fit the stereotype of just wanting to stick to the guy talk. But I think, at least in my friend circle, men want to talk about what their experiences as new dads. They want to talk about what their experiences with their relationship with their wife and how the baby's affecting it. I don't honestly know what percentage of men are interested in it.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Is there anything we need to talk about that I missed in my questions, or I feel like that covered a lot of ground and will be very helpful for moms and dads who listen?
No, I don't think I have anything else. I'm happy to talk about anything else, but
no.
I want to thank you for doing this. Your podcast has been a major source of support for Tyra. She, for the longest time, would listen to every story as she walked Desi for naps, and that sense of community made her feel safe in ways that she didn't have access to before.
Thank you.
She's read three of the books that you supposedly recommended on a blog, which I have not read, sorry. And those have all resonated with her in meaningful ways. So you are undoubtedly affecting people and creating change in a good way. Well, thank you.
Thank you. And I think the two of you coming on the show is just so helpful to have, mom is a doctor, dad is a doctor, and you are still like you're making your way through it, but it was not like you're like, oh yeah, this is easy. We just hit the autopilot button. It's I'm very grateful to have this story out there to share.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. Bye.
So that's it for this week. Thank you, Brandon, so much for sharing your story. There was like so many times where I had trouble just asking you the next question because I was busy digesting what you had just said. You just had so many helpful tidbits. Show notes will be available at ppdadventures.com. I say will be. I'm recording this on Monday, August 27th, and I only know the date because it's showing up on like the bottom bar on my computer. Otherwise, I don't know what day it is. But I'm recording this right now, and I'm going to like go upload it to my podcast provider. But I have to leave in like 15 minutes to get Pippa from kindergarten. So I don't think I'm going to have time to finish the show notes. I've like got them half written. So show notes will be available. Give me a grace period of like 48 hours. They'll be available at ppdadventures.com. If you have questions, comments, or if you would like to be a future guest on the show, email me, Courtney, at ppdadventures.com. I have decided to do a couple more episodes this season and then wrap up the 2018 season, just so I feel like this time of year, I always need to, it's not so much hibernation, but it's the back to school period. And then there's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And it's just sort of this end of the year, my brain just needs some time to like shut down. And then after I take a few months to myself to not have, I need to like reduce the things on my to-do list. And then I get reduced to such a point and so well rested, I'm like, I need more things. And so then I'm like re-energized and I'll be back. So feel free to email me whenever you have a chance. I won't be getting to interviews until early 2019, but I am taking names and email addresses to just save and see if you want to do it in a few months. Okay, that's enough rambling for me. Postpartum depression and all mood disorders are incredibly lonely and isolating. But you can and will make it through this, and you are not alone. There are just thousands upon thousands of moms struggling in the darkness with you right now. With proper help and support, you can and will make a full recovery. I love you, and I hope you have a great week.